Take your Bibles this morning, return to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3. We've been speaking about the fullness of God, being filled with the fullness of God. We've already learned that one filled with the fullness of God is not somebody who's apathetic, somebody full of melancholy or cold or indifferent, unenergized. Somebody filled with the fullness of God is on fire for God. There's an energy associated with being filled with the fullness of God. The Apostle Paul was concerned about the church reaching that plateau. Being positioned in Christ, he had spoken earlier about all these wonderful blessings of being a Christian, of being in Christ, and what all that means, what that entails. We are a blessed people. We're blessed to be able to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's a privilege. The Apostle Peter had reference to that privilege, being called into perfection and glory and possessing all these wonderful, great, and glorious things pertaining to life and godliness. What a blessing to be positioned in Christ Jesus. I mean, we've been elevated higher than the angels. That's a privilege. That's a glorious blessing that we enjoy. Governed by the providence of God. We've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. We're protected by the divine love of God and providence of God. I mean, Jesus said that we are priests and kings in His kingdom. We're privileged. We're blessed. We're in Christ Jesus. We have access to the unsearchable, unmeasurable riches of His grace. We have access to those things. We're blessed. We are more than conquerors. The Apostle Paul not only said we're more than conquerors, but he said we have the privilege of going and taking all the spoil of the places that we conquer in Christ Jesus. Wow. Wow. To realize who we are in Christ Jesus. To realize the privileges of being a Christian. Not only who we are as Christians, but the connection, what we have access to as Christians. And then we started talking about and thinking about being filled with the fullness of God. I mean, basically, that's the goal. That's what we're striving to accomplish. That God may be glorified in the church. That there be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. And this great prayer that is prayed in this third chapter, it's one of the most phenomenal prayers that you'll ever read in the New Testament, apart from those prayers like the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in the 17th chapter of John. I love that verse 1 where it says that the Lord Jesus lifted His eyes into heaven and began to pray. I thought of all the great prayers in the Bible. I don't have time to go through them. I just thought about these and might remind you of just a few of them. I thought of the prayer of Solomon. I mean, Solomon prayed a phenomenal prayer at the consecration of the temple. I mean, at the end of his prayer, fire came out of heaven and consumed the sacrifice. That night, the Bible says, God met with Solomon and said unto Solomon, I have heard your prayer. And if thy people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. God answered Solomon's prayer not only with fire, but with his presence. I thought of Nehemiah. Nehemiah concerned about his people. God on his face before God. It transformed his countenance in such a way. In chapter 2, he went before the king, Artaxerxes, in the month of Nisan. And the king realized that his countenance had changed. And the king said, what do you need? What do you need? Bible says Nehemiah prayed again. It doesn't say what he prayed, but it was one of those short lightning bolt prayers. And Nehemiah had the boldness through the aid of the Holy Spirit to ask for the full resources of the government of that king to go back and reestablish the people of God. A prayer, a response, the power of God and the presence of God. I thought about Daniel in the 9th chapter of Daniel. I'm just talking about some of these prayers. You know, Daniel got on his face and he was praying and he was confessing his faults and the faults of the people. He was confessing his sins and the sins of the people. And the Bible says that the angel Gabriel came and visited him and said unto Daniel, at the moment that you got on your knees and spoke your first words, the Heavenly Father dispatched me from the throne to be in your presence to reveal unto you the 70 weeks that you have seen. Wow! And here the Apostle Paul bows on his knees. What's he looking for? What kind of response? He's looking for the energizing of the people of God. Now, I believe it's the same kind of response like those other prayers. We need to be energized by the power of God to accomplish these great and wonderful things. Now, this is a very practical prayer. It's an instructional prayer. It instructs us because when Paul is in the power of the Holy Spirit and he's praying this prayer, he goes through a series of things that we need to go through that we might be energized to accomplish what God has for us to do. And so I'll begin reading verse 14. I'll read this again. And for this cause, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Let me pause here just for a moment. One of the things we've already noticed is that A.T. Robertson, one of the Greek scholars, of days gone by, one of the greatest Greek scholars of days gone by, said there's three little Greek words, anina, which is a Greek word that is used to talk about something that happens with purpose, or something that happens progressively, something that happens in an order, that there's steps involved. You got to go to A first before you can go to B. And there's five things that are listed in this particular prayer that Paul wanted us to go through that we might reach that full potential of being filled with the fullness of God, that there might be the glory of God just oozing from our lives. A lot of people want to bypass the process. You can't. We've got to do it God's way. We want all the fullness of God and the glory of God upon our lives prior to or without going through these steps that are laid out in God's holy word. So Paul was concerned about the process. And we've got to go through these steps. And there's a elements of process that he mentions here. He starts with the inner strength, strengthening the inner man. That's the first place. That's a very important place. See, we're striving to be functional, that we might reach our full potential, that we might be to the glory of God. Now, there's a lot of churches that are not in that position where they're giving glory to God. They're simply not glorifying God. They're not fully functional. Church is not fully functional. Christians who are not fully functional. And what we've learned in the previous chapter is that we have access to the power to do the job. God did not leave his church without the power to accomplish all that he commanded. And so we have the earlier chapter that precedes the prayer that tells us of our position in Christ Jesus. You move into the next chapter, chapter 4, and he talks about us walking worthy of vocation wherein we've been called, and he's talking about our behavior. So you have our position, who we are, and here's where we're going. The only thing keeping us from going to where we need to be is us being ignited with the power of God to do it. Now, you cannot do that in the energy of the flesh. Just can't do it. You have to be energized with the power of God. And it starts with spiritual divine strength in the inner man. Now listen, all of us have an inner man. All of us have an inner man. Now there's a lot of Christless souls. Christ is not in them. But those of us that are saved, we have Christ in us. And we can receive strength in the inner man. And I spoke to you just a little bit about that last week. Paul is praying for the ignition to be turned on. He's praying for us to explode in Christ Jesus. There's a lot of people that are not exploding for Christ. The Bible teaches that Christians should be on fire for Him. I mean, when the Bible says that somebody can be filled with the fullness of God, what's that look like? Who would you point to and say, here he is, right here. Here's a person filled with the fullness of God. So these steps, okay, you know, you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking, right? Right? Here's these steps to where we can get to that place. And the first step, the first thing that has to be accomplished is that we must have a strong inner spirit. The inner man must be strong. Must be strong. Now, when you think about being filled with the fullness of God, those of you that come on Wednesday nights, I keep referring back to Isaiah chapter 6 of what Isaiah saw when he saw God in his temple on the throne, and the fullness of God was displayed there. The train filled the temple. And there was a response. The posts were shaken. The foundation was shaken. What you need to do is you need to put a cross reference in your Bible. Not that you're Thompson Chain or anything like that. But you need to put a cross reference in your Bible. And right in here where we're talking about the fullness of God, you need to cross reference that with what Isaiah saw in the 6th chapter of Isaiah. I mean, basically, what Isaiah saw in his vision needs to be what happens in you. If you can grasp that, I know that's a bit much for you to grasp, but there's a cross reference here. Most of the cross references in the 6th chapter of Isaiah go other directions. I haven't found any that has a cross reference here, but there is. There really is. So he begins with talking about us strengthening the inner man. We have the capacity to do that. We have the ability to do that. We have found that here is the fountain of youth. We found the fountain of youth. I mean, the outer man can perish, but the inner man can be what? Renewed day by day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, we looked at that, didn't we? This can happen. You can get younger and stronger on the inside while you can be going down and physically depleting on the outside. Isn't that phenomenal? We have found the fountain of youth. I mean, I'm younger on the inside than I am on the outside. I have more strength on the inside than I have on the outside. There used to be a day my outer strength was greater than my inner strength, but that's changing. I'm getting stronger, closer to the Lord. So what we're talking about is being strong in the inner man. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. Not fulfilling the lust of the flesh like we read in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Now, I tried to share with you some of the things on how to get stronger on the inside. We get strong on the inside by exercising the Spirit. A lot of you here, you have gym memberships and you've joined Weight Watchers, but it's not working for you. And you know what, why it's not working for you is because you're not going to the gym and you're not following the program at Weight Watchers. It's not their fault. We're just not doing the exercising. We're not following the program. You can get stronger on the inside, but you have to conform your life to thus saith the Lord. You must yield yourself unto the Lord. Now that's one of the reasons that we study the Word of God, is because there's more to it than just getting more knowledge about God. We're striving to strengthen the inner man. There's a practical application to all of this study of the Word of God. It's more than just gathering knowledge in your brain. It's causing your heart to strengthen and beat for God. And so you learn these things about God and His will for your life. And you learn what He wants and what He desires. And as you yield yourself unto those things, it strengthens the inner man. Now look, I'm going to be honest with you. The flesh is going to fight you every step of the way. We looked at that a little bit too in the 7th chapter of Romans. When I try to do good, evil is present with me. You remember what Paul said though? He said ultimately, he said, In my inner man, I delight to do the law of God. In my inner man. But the outer man is fighting me every step of the way. And listen, we need to be strong on the inner man in order to endure this wicked world. The world is against us, the flesh is against us, and the devil is against us. And we need a strong inner person in order to survive. So we learn what God wants from us. And the more we obey Him, the more we yield our spirit to Him, the stronger we get. We flex these spiritual muscles and we get stronger. I mean, we get stronger on the inside every time we yield. Now, you know, God will say in His Word, you need to do this. The flesh will say, don't do that. God's Word will say, you need to give. The flesh will say, oh, but you'll miss out on something. Come on now. But every time you yield your spirit to what is right in the sight of God, something happens to you on the inside. Listen, the church doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your money. You need to give because your giving strengthens you on the inside. Your giving is the only thing that separates you from being a covetous person. Or when the Bible tells us no to certain things, when we're tempted to sin, listen, every time you yield to the flesh, I cringe. Every time I yield to the flesh myself, I cringe because I know the outcome, the effect of that. What's the outcome? What's the effect of that? Is we become weaker on the inside. But when we say no to these temptations, when we say no to sin, what happens? We're exercising that inner man, those spiritual muscles. We're yielding to the will of God and the wants of God and the desires of God. And every time you yield yourself to God, you get a little stronger on the inside. Yeah. And the more you walk in the Spirit, the more you're controlled by the Spirit, the more you're filled with the Spirit, the more you're conscious of the Spirit on a daily basis, you'll be renewed day by day. You'll be revitalized, you'll be energized. There'll be growth every day. Man, time gets away from me up here. All right, so the first thing that we noticed in here is that we need to be strengthened on the inside. We need to know the Word of God. We need to submit to the Word of God. You know, in Ephesians 5:18, I preached on this, I think, last year, maybe earlier this year. where it says, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. The Greek word there means be, keep filled with the Spirit. Stay filled in the Spirit. We need to stay filled with the Spirit. Right. Right. I know that we like to go to church and we like spiritual services. I like spiritual services. I enjoy it. I like to shout. I like to rejoice. I love the peace of God just flooding my soul. But you know what? I'm not really worried about you being spiritual here. I'm worried about you being spiritual out there. That's where the rubber meets the road. Amen? Are you going to walk in the Spirit out there? Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's Spirit-filled living. Amen? Yes. Yes. Spirit-filled living. So we want to be strong on the inner man. We want to be strong spiritually. And all of us can do that. You know, when you exercise your will toward the Holy Spirit, it strengthens spiritual muscles on the inside. And we can be strong Christians when we have a strong inner man. But if we function in the flesh, we will weaken the inner man. It will weaken you. Now look, we've all drank of the Spirit, right? I mean, I think it's in the book of Corinthians, 12th chapter, said we've all drank of the same Spirit, right? And it's, you know, listen, if it's been a long time since you had a drink of the Spirit, you need to get a drink. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, you need a drink on a daily basis. And so we're talking about the inner man growing stronger. Okay, let's notice something, though. Let's notice the effect. And I'm going to try to close here in just a moment. He says, first of all, number one, that you be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Number two. Now, keep in mind, this is like in order that. Here's that nina, Greek expression, usage, grammatical, linguistical function. He says, when there's a strong inner man, there will be a result. See, when you have a strong inner man, something happens. What happens? Christ will dwell in you by faith. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Listen, if I have the Spirit of Christ, don't I already have Christ in me? I mean, didn't Paul in the previous chapters talk about us being in Christ and Christ in us? In Christ already in us? What's going on here? Isn't this backwards? Doesn't Christ come in us? Then we have the Spirit? And didn't Paul say, if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, you're none of His? I mean, we must be missing something. And I think it boils down to this one word, the word dwell. When I studied Greek, that noun, okeia, which is the noun for house, is part of this Greek. Actually, it's a compound, kata, okeia, which when you have a compound like that, you have usually intensity involved. It doesn't mean that He's not there. It means that Christ might be at home. That He might be comfortable there. The Apostle Paul is telling us that if we have a strong inner man, then Christ will be comfortable with our hearts being His home. That's phenomenal, isn't it? I guess the question is is Christ in you? The question this morning is Christ comfortable being in you? I believe a Christian can reach a place where Christ is comfortable in them. There was a book back in the 70s. Now I'm telling my age. Let's see. I thought I wrote down the... Yeah, it's called My Heart, Christ's Home. This is a pamphlet. Wasn't it a little pamphlet? I think some of y'all have read, you've read that, haven't you? Some of you older people. It was an allegory a book that I think the guy was... guy's first name was Robert or something that wrote the book. But talked about Jesus going into this home, and the first place he went into was the library, which is like the control room. And so he went into the library, and instead of books on the shelf, there was a lot of garbage and junk. There was just all kinds of just information that was unnecessary. I guess a lot of football and baseball stats, and just a lot of bad human philosophy, just a lot of useless stuff was in the library. And the Lord Jesus, when he came to the library, the first thing that he did is he cleared off all the shelves of all this evil and nasty material that represented somebody's mind being full of that junk, and he just cleared it all out and he put the Word of God there. And then I think he moved into like the dining room. And he was in the dining room, and of course the dining room is our appetite. It's the room with our desires. Let me ask you something. What do you really feast on? What do you really hunger for? What do you really want? Well, he went into the dining room and he found all of this. He found a worldly menu. Worldly menu. A menu full of riches and materialism and full of lust of the flesh. And he took all that stuff out and he put a menu of divine things. He put the will of God in the dining room. In this allegorical book, he went into the living room, place of fellowship. And he found their neglect, a lack of fellowship with not only Christ, but a lack of fellowship among the people of God. And he removed all that stuff and he put there a renewed fellowship with him and with the people of God. Went into the workshop. And in that workshop, there was all these fancy, nice tools, a beautiful workbench. But there was all these toys. Only thing being made in the workshop was a bunch of toys. Here's all these gifts and these abilities and these skills. And yet in the workshop, there was nothing there but a bunch of toys. And he's like, well, why? You have all this capability. You have the capacity to do all these great things. Why aren't you doing something for the kingdom of Christ? Why aren't you working and making things that will last forever? Lastly, he said in this book, he starts smelling a stink. Something stinks in here. I can't stand to be into the stink, you know. We're not talking mothballs. We're talking something worse than that. He said, I think it's coming from that closet. The guy runs over, gets in front of the closet. No, don't get him a closet. Okay. He said, look, I can't be comfortable here unless we take that stuff out. Because in that closet was all kinds of wicked stuff. Personal sins, hidden things, dead things. The man became angry because Jesus wanted to get into his closet that's full of evil things. But finally the man let him in and he cleaned it up. Listen, once we get cleaned up on the inside, Christ is comfortable being there. When our will and our desires are focused on Him, then Christ is comfortable being there. Listen, if there's ever been a time when we needed Christ comfortable with us, it's now. You remember in the third chapter of Revelation, verse 20? Christ, well, I've already mentioned this. What was He? He was on the outside. On the outside knocking. Let me in. I want to sup with you. See, the Lord wants to fellowship with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants to sup with us. But if He's constantly going around trying to clean up the place, if He's constantly trying to do this, you know, trying to get you squared away so he can be comfortable there and have fellowship with you. If he's constantly going about trying to get all this stuff straightened out in your life, there's no time for fellowship. He can't sup with you. He's like, you know, you're going to have to take this stuff out. I can't stay here. Listen, if we start dragging Christ into all these different places where he doesn't want to be, if we keep dragging him into places of sin, then we're going to have a hard time with Christ being at home in our hearts. I'm going to close with the 14th chapter of John. Listen to this. Ah, this is good stuff right here. What did Jesus say? He said this in verse 23 of the 14th chapter of John. I think I've read this off and on for the last month, two or three times, haven't I? You listen to this verse. Listen to it. If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and be at home with him. King James is abide in him. Is he comfortable in your life, in your heart? That's the question. Strong inner man, yielded to the Spirit, Christ is comfortable in that person's life. He can be at home there. Be at home. He will dwell there. Dwell there. You know, we want people to see Christ in us, and the only way we can do that is for him to be comfortable in our lives, where he can be, let his light shine through us to other people, rather than constantly trying to eliminate the sin and the evil from our own lives. I appreciate you listening to me this morning. Number one, a strong inner man. And what happens as a result of that? Well, in order that if you have a strong inner man, then Christ will be comfortable. Now listen, I'm going to be honest with you. He's not always comfortable with Tim. Come on now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? And he exposes that in our lives, and we get convicted about it, and we repent of it. And because of repentance and that conviction, we call upon the Lord and we get a cleansing. The closet gets cleaned out. You know, the stench, the stinky smell is eliminated, and he's comfortable staying there. He doesn't have to run to the park or sit in his car because he's uncomfortable abiding in your heart. He doesn't have to be on the outside knocking and wanting to come in to have fellowship and be comfortable there. Listen, all of us know there's been times where he was comfortable being in us. And we all know of times when he was uncomfortable abiding with us, dwelling in us. Are you glad the Lord reassures us when he's comfortable? I mean, there are times where I pray and I realize, I mean, the Lord shows me. I've not always loved the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and body. Have you? But there's been a few times in my life where I have. I really felt like I was there. You know what I'm talking about? I was there. I loved the Lord with everything that was in me. I mean, everything that was in me, I love the Lord. And I think the Lord's comfortable with a heart like that. So the question is, not so much is Christ in you, but is he comfortable being in you? And the thing that makes him comfortable is a strong inner man. Appreciate your attention this morning. God bless you. We're going to stand and sing a verse of some song. I want to say to those of you that are lost and in sin, this spiritual inner strength that comes to the mind of the Lord, it all starts with being saved, doesn't it? You can't have a strong inner man until you've been saved by the grace of God. I mean, there's got to be the blood of Christ on the doorposts of your heart. There has to be regeneration. There has to be salvation, eternal life. It starts with getting saved. And if you're here today and you need to be saved, this altar's open. If you need a stronger inner man, this altar is open. If Christ is uncomfortable with your life, this altar is open. You get it right. I mean, relinquish your foolish pride and just get it right. You know what the blessed thing is? In the home of every heart, there's a back door. You know what I did before I came to church today? I took the food down, put it in the car, and I took the garbage out. I tell you, there's times in our life we need to take the garbage out. Amen. Yeah. Just, you know, you can't just keep that stuff. There's times that we'll just leave. Y'all do this sometimes. You leave the garbage in the, you know, in the trash can too long. You get to smelling it. Huh? Yeah. There are times in your life where you need to take the garbage out. If you leave it in there, it'll stink. It'll make not only you uncomfortable, but it'll make your guests uncomfortable. And this is a phenomenal thing that Christ be in us. Let's not take it for granted. Let's stand and sing.